This is Leafs Nation Postgame.
Let's go!
With Gord Stemach and Mark Savard. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Well, one of those nights, an ugly night, unfortunately, at Scotiabank Arena for Toronto Maple Leaf fans. A 6-2 win for the red-hot, league-leading Tampa Bay Lightning, who put a clinic on tonight in beating the Maple Leafs by that 6-2 score. But it doesn't matter, through good times and bad times, we always have Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, and company here at the emptiest of empty Scotiabank Arenas. We start with a walk to the subway, but I think you're already on the subway. I think you're home from the subway.
The subway was starting to load up at 8:15 tonight, and every time it rolled by, it filled every single time.
It's probably quiet now. There was like, God, you know, Nazem Kadri scored with 4 seconds left. Kind of weird. And it's good the Leafs did not over-celebrate, but there were still some fans here, so they got a chance to kind of give a bit of a cheer as far as that went. And Connor Brown got the goal. Kadri assisted on it. So they didn't over-celebrate. And we've got something going on the ice as well, just some kind of picture. I think there's a couple of men in it as well, so I'm not too sure if it's a salute. Tonight they were saluting a women's contribution, women fans.
I think it's a bus driver group.
Anyway, we'll find out what it is. Just kind of different to have a group of about 20 out there on center ice getting their picture taken. Tampa Bay Lightning family and friends, they'll be in a good mood as they wait in one section in a pretty well empty Scotiabank Arena to see members of the red-hot Tampa Bay Lightning hockey team. I don't know. What can you say, Savvy, on our walk to the subway? We probably would be pretty quiet if we weren't doing a post-game show.
Frustrated a little bit, you know, against another top team to not have a great effort is got to be frustrating for Babcock and his team and the fans, because, you know, we're going to have to beat one of these good teams to move on, right? We got stuffed up, sorry fans, I'm in a little bit stuffy in the nose tonight. I sound like I'm plugging my nose, but I'm not.
You sound great.
Okay, but anyway, that's where I'm headed. You got to start having good efforts down the stretch against these better hockey teams, just so you feel confident going against them in the playoffs. They're going to play Tampa one more time at home here, Gord. They're going to need a better effort than they had tonight.
Well, again, in the proverbial first home game after a Western Canadian or a long road trip.
Yeah, and that's what you always worry about, and we saw it tonight. A little bit of a disinterested group, I would say. Would you say?
I mean, I'm a little surprised by it. I'm trying to gauge exactly, but yeah, it wasn't. I mean, this is the team that's played Tampa well the previous two other
they
meetings.
Have.
This wasn't the same team tonight.
No, it wasn't. And I think that line change said it all. It said it all that needed to be said tonight. Very indicative of what the Leafs have done all season. And they go off 4 men at a time to leave Morgan Rielly alone to play a 3-on-1. Yeah, you could have said, like Ralphie told us, that Sparks, he could have went and got it. But still, one guy could have jumped back, 2 guys maybe, to help out the cause. But there was no cause for concern, obviously, by the 4 that went off.
Yeah, it was the 5th goal of the game. It was a shorthanded goal by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And as Savvy describes, the puck went back in the Leaf zone. And again, chatting with Jim Ralph, just saying Garrett Sparks, who'd taken over from Freddie Anderson at that point, chose not to come out. It would have come out a bit of a distance to play it. But then you couldn't believe it that all of a sudden Mark Rielly said, "Where is everybody?" And there were 3, and I think all 4 Tampa Bay Lightning players up there. And we're talking good players that went off. We're talking Auston Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner. I mean, it's their number one power play. It's not like they don't know how to play the game. But it just, of all nights, something like that had to happen. And you're right. That really was the cherry on the Sunday about the way game went on the ice, the precision Tampa Bay Lightning team dominating, but also just a Leaf team seemingly not mentally or emotionally invested.
And that's the big one, Gord, for me, that just not being here tonight, we talked about it early in the year, throwing your sticks on the ice thinking you're going to win. And against this team, the best in the National Hockey League, you're not going to win on any nights playing the way you did tonight. So a little chance to take a rest. I'm sure they'll get tomorrow off. They just got back from out west. You know, take a look in the mirror. Remember, you've had a good year so far, and you're going to have to be better down the stretch prepping for those playoffs. And another thing, too, wasn't very happy with Nylander getting that opportunity tonight. He didn't take any advantage of playing with Auston Matthews, I didn't think. So that'd be something that's short-lived again.
Well, and you've been a guy that's been big on him, and then Kasperi Kapanen, a late scratch tonight with the flu bug. So, as you mentioned, and by the way, one of the officials too, Brad Kovacic, the linesman, fell ill during the game, so they went back with the old three officials instead of four officials. But in Kasperi Kapanen gone, it's something you've talked about, William Nylander getting a chance to play with Auston Matthews, and this time it came because of an illness or an injury, in this case an illness. And yeah, you know, William, you're still waiting for that real breakout game or string of breakout games.
The magic they used to have, right?
Yeah.
Where's that magic they used to show together? We haven't seen it, and tonight was I thought was a perfect opportunity. I know they're playing a great team, but Willie to be more engaged, get involved, and he didn't really do much to help Matthews or Johnson.
Well, I'll tell you what, we don't want to miss Mike Babcock, and he normally gets to the post-game show. It could be relatively soon, so we want to hear a very different kind of game from Mike Babcock to talk about. 6-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelnick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelnick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Of course, on site here, Sam McGee, producer, also Vic Palladian as well, and Andrew Holland. And back at Mission Control, we have Josh Santos and Kyle Norris. So the whole gang, and we were looking forward to hopefully a great game tonight between the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are just killing it as far as team statistics go, as far as individual statistics go, and got to see the precision and the excellence of that team, but didn't see a Toronto Maple Leaf team show up and play its best in the 6-2 loss tonight. We will, because we do it, hear all the goals going on in tonight's game, even though it's more Tampa Bay than Toronto, but there were some impressive goals that way. We are waiting for Mike Babcock to chat on the podium, and basically he's been a guy that's had many positives pressers to chat about as far as it goes. And then, of course, right after that, Chris Johnston will join us. And going to be the hardest thing for you. Well, no, you'll figure somebody out. Don't give it out yet as far as their Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game, but you won't exactly have as wide a group of candidates as you normally have, Mr. Savard.
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded right now. I don't know which direction to go in. Are you asking me for it? Why don't we just get it over with?
Okay, boy, you're really in a tough mood here. This is, you know, people out there are kind of hoping like someone can inject a little life and levity and humor and fun, you know, about if you're down the game tonight, you're pissed, okay? You are. It's like a wasted night, and it happens. And there's very few of them, and there's very few of them that way. So, yeah, so why don't you cheer us up with our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game?
You know what? It's a tough decision here, but I'm going to go with one guy that I thought it wasn't because he played a great game, but at least he tried and he looked like he cared. And that's Tyler Ennis. He looked like a tennis ball out there tonight. He was all over the place, bouncing everywhere. And he kept fighting back. Couldn't get much done, but he kept fighting back. And I'm going to give it to him, even though he's minus two. I don't remember the last time we gave a Direct Energy, hard working home services guy had a minus two tonight, but Tyler Ennis, at least he looked like he cared to me, Gord.
Yeah, and you know what? You're not going to find many people that aren't a mice. How about Nino Niederreiter? On Friday, the Carolina Hurricanes lose 8-1 to Winnipeg. He's a minus six. How do you become a minus six? And then on Saturday, he scores two goals and a huge win, the first two for Carolina over Nashville, a game they had to win. So that's the best thing you can do is try to bounce back and just forget about it. So Tyler Ennis, our Direct Energy Home Services, hardest working Leaf player of the game. Yeah, you know, just as we're talking about, you're just trying to articulate it. It's almost like if you were flying home tonight, the team, like one of those you just wouldn't even talk about, you wouldn't forget. I mean, the kind of season the Leafs had have? Is that what should be the way? And then maybe quietly,
if you
do
were
some
flying,
teaching
so you're saying we're on the road all of a sudden, we're flying home tonight. What would it be like? It would be headset on, don't talk to anybody, just take it all in, watch your movie, do what you got to do, and wait for tomorrow because tomorrow is another day. Because there's nothing really else to talk about.
As professional athletes, should Mike Babcock just say, this ship has sailed, or should he take a day and then bring some teaching lessons into what happened tonight? Because they played them well the first two times in Tampa Bay. The guys aren't dumb. They know that his didn't play well tonight. Let's face it.
Yeah, I just think they let this one go, throw the tape away. I don't think there's much to work from in this game tonight. I mean, maybe if you want to get a little in guys' face a little bit and tell them to wake up, you might call those guys in your office about that change and be like, you know,
the particular change on the power play.
Yeah, yeah, bring your power play in and be like, guys, what is this? You know, this is embarrassing to me, your team, your teammates. I mean, the other guys, remember, don't forget, when that happened, right, when all those guys come off, you got, you know, Johnson jumps on, you got your other, you got Anderson taking that other minus jumping on, right? You got other guys jumping on, and they're minus all of a sudden because it's a shorthanded goal, right? You get a minus for it. So those guys are pissed off. Nylander, there's a guy who doesn't need a minus. He jumps on. He's minus two tonight. So it's embarrassing. You know, you let your team down, and then you let your teammates down, and you do something like that. That pisses everybody off. So that's one thing you can do. But otherwise, take that tape. Give it to someone going on the subway tonight. Tell them to toss it in front of a subway car.
We're talking the tape.
Yeah, the tape of the game. Or the CD or your burner or whatever you got it on. And just get rid of it.
The other thing is, as we again, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, a 6-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. It was really just one game that Jake Gardner got some boos, but it got a lot of notoriety that way about things. And I've always been big on Jake. I get what he does. I get his I get what goes with the complete package sometimes, which can be frustrating. But I don't think you'll be booing him if you did before. Jake Gardner, Travis Dermott right now on the Maple Leaf decor, they got to get him back big time. They got to get him back
well,
big time. Or they could try maybe some other options for the
Well, that's where I was headed. For now, it wouldn't be a bad thing to try another recipe. Because this recipe of the Magic Man and Oshaganov and even Justin Hall, but to Justin Hall's, he's only played three games this season. I mean, it's tough to pick on a guy that's only played three games this season. But again, there's got to be another recipe. There's got to be someone in the minors that could at least give it a go because, I'm sorry, Magic Man's got no magic left. And
Oshaganov, we're talking about Martin Marincin, of course.
Oshaganov looks like he just learned to skate yesterday, and I'm not being that mean to be that harsh, but that's how he looked tonight. He looked like he was in quicksand, and the Magic Man, like I said, his wand is completely lost all magic.
Well, and I know before there's been some injuries on the Toronto Marlies situation that and some of their defensemen as well. It does seem when you look at Borgman, Liljegren, particularly Dahlin, that they've got a few there that are going to merit NHL opportunities and hopefully, like Travis Dermott did, can make a relatively seamless adjustment to playing in the NHL. Because, I mean, really, that's their only hope as far as the future goes and the blue line.
It really is. So they need to dig within and give someone else an opportunity here, Gordon. I think it needs to come sooner rather than later because I have not been impressed with the job that these guys have been doing filling in. So, again, how nice would have a trade to get some depth been at the deadline? But then you watch this Tampa Bay team and you think, you know, would have been worth making another move? Would have been worth getting rid of a Liljegren to bring in another top defenseman this year?
Well, we were talking about it that, you know, last year the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it was interesting the timing because the New York Rangers just decided they would be sellers as far as it went. But just getting Ryan McDonagh and JT Miller was the piece de resistance because they got them under contracts. And a year later, these guys are huge as far as additions to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, they've been great additions. And tonight I was really impressed with Ryan McDonagh's game, all-round game tonight. Two assists plus three, 20 minutes of ice time, three shots, four hits, two giveaways. And that was the other thing about the that really stuck out to me tonight about this Tampa Bay Lightning team, Gord. Even when it looked like the Leafs tried, the Tampa Bay just squashed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They just killed any hope that the Toronto Maple Leafs had, because there were some shifts where they got skating and they were digging, and then all of a sudden they just knocked them over, cleared the puck, and moved it out. And they played a pretty physical game for a team that you think of as an offensive dynamo. They still played physical.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you something. It's kind of weird tonight. We're just seeing now there was a smaller group out at center ice. So you heard some Go Leafs Go chant, which is about the last thing you would hear tonight. And now, what'd you say, about 100?
About, yeah, I would say
maybe a little bit over 100.
I'm going to go with 126.
Okay, well, it's not against the crowd.
I think about 118 females.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's part of the tribute about it, you know, about women's saluting hockey
we got Babs,
fans,
we got
female
Babs,
hockey
guys?
Fans. Yeah, he says,
Babs,
here's Mike Babs.
We're going to Babs.
Hello.
Tough night for your club, Mike, trying to match compete the way Tampa brought their compete level. It seemed right from the get-go tonight.
Yeah, we were no good. So they were better than us from start to finish. And won more battles, more races. And just had more jump. We looked like a lethargic group right from the get-go. Didn't have any energy right through. Our whole group didn't skate well, didn't execute well, weren't good.
Is it concerning or understanding given what's going on?
I mean, you come every day and you do everything you can to prepare to be as good as you can be. And tonight we weren't good enough. So we're going to take an off day tomorrow, get our energy level up and get ready. We're going to take an off day Thursday. We just changed that and we'll take the off day tomorrow, get ourselves regrouped and get back on track.
The decision to pull Freddie out of there just for him.
Well, it was 4-0, and I think 3 had gone in off them. I didn't think we gave him any opportunity. I haven't looked at each goal. I know the first two did, and I think the third or fourth one of them did. So to me, I didn't think it did him any good to be in there. Didn't hurt Sparky to get in and play. And didn't look like we had the kind of energy or zip in us to turn things the other direction.
How did the lineup juggling go pregame with Cappy and
Hyman? Well, I mean, it was just easy. You know, Willie played with Matty in the past. We're looking for Willie to find himself. There was an opportunity there for him. Then we just put Brownie back where he's been a bunch of times. I thought Morsey played real well. You know, we didn't have a lot of good players tonight. I thought Morsey was one of them.
Happened on that beyond one shorthanded
goal?
Is that a line change?
Yeah, the guys have been on the ice for too long and they left Mo out by himself and changed.
You ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer, right?
Yeah. You don't know Babs as a play-by-play commentator. That's not going to be very good analysis of that.
What happened on the chain?
So we'll find out from Chris Johnston momentarily.
Four just guys if, came off?
If that was just kind of an abrupt... No, just if it just ended on that he had enough. He stated the obvious, we were no good. So now what are you saying? They're going to have Tuesday and Thursday off?
So they're going to take Tuesday off, play Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they show up Wednesday, and then they're going to take Thursday off as well and play Friday. So as a player, a great opportunity to get your legs back under you and prepare for the road ahead, I guess.
I mean, it really is interesting that how few real full practices there are anymore.
It's unbelievable.
And it's the complaint used to be not being able to get enough ice time, and now it's just constantly about days off. And I know the way it's the way to go, and I guess mentally – I guess he's showing some belief in the team that they don't have to do something remedial, that really the whole punishment practice thing is, what, a way gone by. Is that right, Savvy?
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2019. Okay, Chris Johnston joining Gord Stellick, Mark Savard. Of course, Chris Johnston, Hockey.net in Canada, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. 6-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. So, Chris, boy, really a strange one tonight. And on top of it, just giving you a warning, Savvy's got a head cold as well. So it's just not a good night all the way around up here in the broadcast booth. But just Mike Babcock's presser, did he kind of walk off? Was he annoyed by that question or did it have a natural flow at the end? Or what happened there?
No, it was natural. It didn't feel as though he was expressing any anger for us or anything like that. I just think it's one of those games. There's not a whole lot to say in his position. He doesn't want to search for excuses, but I think the team feels the guys are pretty worn down after 20 of the last 30 days on the road, jumping all over the time zones, getting back late yesterday afternoon, and they came up against a good team and just didn't have their best to counterpunch it.
Yeah, we talked about it going in. You always worry about that first game back from a long road trip, and tonight was exactly why. They looked disinterested. They looked lethargic. And like you said, throw the tape away.
Exactly. And, here's the thing. I don't want to dismiss it. I mean, certainly, obviously, all the preparation before the game was about finding ways to have energy, about, knowing what the Lightning do. You don't want to just say, oh, it doesn't matter. But I just know how I feel from following them around on the road, not actually having to play the games and do all the physical stuff that these guys are doing. I mean, it's hard to be sharp throughout an 82-game season. It's why they have a sports science department. It's why they've moved practice. They were originally going to practice tomorrow and take Thursday off. They've switched that around, and they're going to take tomorrow off. And I honestly just think it was a case where the Leafs are, fighting it a bit energy-wise, and a few guys have illnesses. Obviously, Kasperi Kapanen missed the game with an illness. Hyman was a game-time decision. So, they're fighting it on a few ends right now. And when you're going up against not just the best team in the league, I mean, maybe the best team in the last 20, 25 years in the NHL, I mean, you've got to have all hands on deck to have a chance in that kind of game. And the Leafs just didn't have very many players playing their best.
Did you hear anything that Marinson or Oceganov were sick? Or no, I'm just kidding. Anyway,
I think that was performance.
Anyway, I hate to pick on them, but Chris, do you not agree that maybe there's another recipe until Jake and Dermott return? Can they try something else? Is there someone that's available now in the minors getting healthy? Is there anybody?
No, and I'll tell you, I was in on Sheldon Keefe's press conference. They played this afternoon here at Scotiabank Arena, and he seemed rather frustrated with the injury state with his team, with the Marlies, and said that both Cali Rosen and Andreas Borgman haven't skated at all with the team. I was told that Rosen, for the first time today, put his foot in a skate. He blocked a shot. I believe it was 2 weeks ago now and hasn't skated since, and it didn't go so well. So, unfortunately, I mean, that the timing of the organizational injuries is bad. Obviously losing Jake Gardner and Travis Dermott within a couple days of each other, but at the same time, the next two left shot options after Marinchen going down with the Marlies, I mean, I don't see much of an answer. I mean, Justin Hall is still up here. Maybe we'll see him draw back in, but he's only played four games all season, and clearly, there's been no push from the coaching staff to keep him in the games he's played. But they need these guys to get healthy, and I think it was maybe a little bit of good news to see Dermott out skating this morning before the team was on the ice, although he still looked pretty ginger. I know from speaking to guys that have had shoulder injuries, it's a painful thing as you work your way back from that. So I don't know what the timeline is for him, but in the meantime, they're just going to have to get through it as best they can. And it can be an adventure on nights like this one where they spend so much time in their own defensive zone.
And, Chris, thanks for the injury update. There was a game earlier, the Belleville Senators defeated the Toronto Marlies this afternoon, kind of a special March break game. But, yeah, I think the Leafs have been so relatively injury-free the last couple of years. Everyone thinks it trickles down to the Toronto Marlies, but that is the problem they're facing right now with some pretty significant injuries going on there. The other thing is just describing that play, that last question that was posed to Mike Babcock, and we're chatting with Jim Ralph about it, that maybe – the guys thought that Garrett Sparks was going to play it or something. I mean, these are guys who know what they're doing. It's Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner. It's the A power play. But a night like tonight is the kind of night that would happen. That just still is really bizarre to see a 3-on-1 wide open when they're short and just a bunch of guys going to the bench.
Well, Sparks came out of the net a little bit. He was clearly thinking about playing it. And, Nazem Kadri said he called it one of those in-between plays where he thought that the goalie was going to go out and play it. He wasn't blaming Sparks per se, but he was explaining why he elected to change at that point. And it was just a totally strange play. I mean, you get one of Tampa's defensemen, he's a great skating one in Victor Hedman, but he's the one winning the puck race up the ice in a shorthanded situation. You would never expect that. And obviously tic-tac-toe you know, on the goal by Paquette. And you know, I kind of really ended things. As strange as it might sound, just because of some of the bounces on the early goals, you know, I didn't think the Leafs were horrible in the first period. I mean, they were outplayed, but it wasn't to an embarrassing degree. They had some chances. You know, Matthews made the nice move on the goal that he scored. There was at least the hope in the building, I think, at that point when Tampa, you know, took a penalty that, you know, if the Leafs get a power play goal there, that there's a path back. And, you know, by giving up that shorthanded goal, that just was the dagger. And I think it might have been a little bit of miscommunication and a little bit of just bad timing for that change, because that first power play unit had been on the ice for quite some time.
Freddie Anderson's playing big games. Cause for concern?
Not for me. You know, not for me. I think that, you know, he had a tough night tonight. He's got a few teammates that'll lump into that group. And, you know, for me, the question still is, I think there's a case to be resting him a little bit more than they have been down the stretch here. And I know that we went over this in Vancouver when Mike Babcock talked about it then. But, you know, I think, you know, given that rest can be a powerful thing in athlete performance, that, you know, maybe not leaning on him as heavily as he has been is the way to go. I like the pull tonight, you know, I guess a little bit because of performance, but also just, you know, there's no sense of that moment to keep him in for worse. So, you know, I'm not that worried about him. He's had a great season, by far his best statistically that he's played. And, you know, we'll find out a little bit more about how he can handle the pressure games and the big games. But, you know, he was in net for the Ducks a few years ago when they went to the Western Conference Final. You know, I think that he'll be good when it matters. But, you know, as I say, I'm all for giving him a little bit more rest, because, well, really, they're chasing home ice advantage to a degree against the Bruins. But, you know, I don't think it's worth emptying the canisters to do so. It's about making sure the team's in the best possible place when you get there.
Now, Chris, with Kasperi Kapanen, a late scratch due to illness, and it was kind of interesting, like you said, there was some confusion if maybe there would have been a snafu on the score sheet as well, but everything did work out for the Maple Leafs that way. What didn't work out, and again, it was a game where nobody's going, so, you know, one guy probably can make the difference, but Savvy loves William Nylander getting a chance to play with Austin Matthews, and, you know, it just hasn't been the case till tonight. And, he, you know, William Nylander, you know, he plays better at times, but he's done nothing to burst into that kind of presence that he's had the last two seasons, and certainly tonight would have been a really good opportunity for him.
Yeah, he's searching for it, you know, and you know, Mike Babcock said post-game that part of the idea of putting him back there, obviously there's the history, but is they're trying to get him going and light a fire under him and see something from this guy. And you know, he definitely had a good stretch of games since he's been back. It's not like he's been terrible the whole time. But I feel lately his game tailed off, and he's not as much of a force in controlling the puck. And you know, that's obviously a huge strength of his. You know, you get to the end of the night tonight, he doesn't have a shot attempt in the game. And you know, that's just not good enough for a player with his skill. And, you know, now he's at the point where he's one of the better played guys on the team. So, you know, I think a longer-term reunion with Matthews would be a positive for both guys. I do think that they've had a pretty proven run of success together with you know, Williams available to gain the line and the way he can pass. And obviously Austin's a real shooter. You know, I'd like to see that kept together, even if Kapanen comes back healthy when they play Wednesday night against Chicago. But, you know, he didn't have much of a night tonight. And I should mention that as a footnote to that, the pregame snafu, that I was told the Leafs actually did fill out the lineup card incorrectly, that they had happen in the lineup with Ennis as a scratch, but they corrected it to the referee prior to puck drop, so as they're allowed to do. So that's why it didn't result in a penalty or anything else, but there was an error there. And, you know, I didn't ask Mike about it post-game just because 6-2 game. It's a bit of minutia. It's not anything that important in the end, and, you know, didn't think it was worth following up on.
I'm going to let Savvy get one more question, too, but just since you speak of it, this was a sign of a weird night to come. And, you know, Savvy talks quite a bit about liking to have the white jerseys at home, okay? And you don't see many reverse jersey nights, and tonight was one of them. So Tampa wore the darks, Leafs wore the whites. We checked with someone because we were wondering, how does this happen? And they said Tampa asked to wear the darks, I just found that kind of weird. I don't know how it comes about. I don't know why Tampa Bay would want to, but it sort of was a night that, okay, they picked the jersey they want, and the Leafs decided they would, acquiesce to them that way. I like to see it more often. I don't know about you. I know you would, Savvy. But that was just kind of a bit of a different thing. We don't see all that often.
Yeah, my understanding is that the next game, Detroit, for some reason, that Tampa wanted to wear their blues there, or the Red Wings asked that they do it, and so then they came to Toronto to say, is it okay, because they don't want to travel with two sets of equipment and all that sort of stuff. So I think it actually originates with something happening in Tampa's next game. But I'm with you. I grew up in an era when the white jerseys are what you wore at home, and I got no problem if the Leafs ever go back to that, or if the NHL goes back to that, just because it's traditional in my mind. I know it's moved back and forth a couple times over the years, but that's as best I know the reason it ended up here there tonight.
We could chirp the Leafs all we want tonight, though. We got to remember who is on the other bench. The Tampa Bay Lightning, 53 wins this year, dominant in every area, Chris. And tonight, it looked like even when the Leafs wanted to try, it was almost laughable because Tampa would just knock them over and move it out. If they have a weakness, Chris, what is it?
I don't see one, honestly. I know that's a lame answer, but they are deep from top to bottom. They even have some injuries of their own. Anton Strahlman's out, Girardi's out, so that isn't probably their absolute maximum blue line that we saw here tonight. And they just move the puck around so well. I mean, if you go back and watch closely, I mean, which one team was turning the puck over in the neutral zone tonight? And it wasn't the one wearing blue. In this case, the blue was the visitors because of the way they switched it up. And I just think that the Lightning have everything you could want. They have experience. They have the heartbreak of all those close calls over the years, and I do think that helps keep them focused and keep them in the right place, because, you know, there's not a single guy on the team that's won a Stanley Cup. Everyone that's with the Lightning, and there's a bunch of them that lost in the final in 2015, or even guys like Ryan McDonough, who were part of the Rangers, lost JT Miller in 2014. And so, you know, they got a hungry group, and they're just good. They got a great coaching staff. They're first in the power play, first in penalty kill. I don't see a weakness. I really don't. I think that, anything can happen in a playoff series. Injuries could still yet play a factor. You might get out goaltended, but they're going to be the favorite in every series they play this spring, and I think that's the way it should be. They got a chance to break an NHL record if they get to 63 wins. It's unlikely. They got a really tough schedule to finish, but you can't say it's impossible, because I noticed they were 3-2 in their last five, and they're 13-2 in their last 15. So they're the kind of team that can reel off 10 straight wins if that's what it takes.
Well, Chris, we kept you on longer than usual. Appreciate it. Our buddy Mark Savard is going to be doing some Sportsnet duty out in Lethbridge, Alberta, the next three games, some color for some university hockey. So he'll take his miserable cold and personality out there, and we'll be chatting with somebody else Wednesday and Friday, okay?
Sounds good. Travel safe, Savvy, and enjoy some Alberta beef for me.
Okay, bud, I will.
There he is, Chris Johnston of Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. A 6-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Okay, go ahead.
Are you going somewhere?
No, I'm not going
anywhere. We're staying
on? Yeah, we got to stay
on. I just got a really cool tweet from Elliot. Logan Couture just scored on a penalty shot in the Minnesota game, but Minnesota's challenging it because the play that was called before the penalty shot was offside. He was offside.
Oh.
So there's a big, this is new, no idea if they can even do this.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that safe?
There we go. Way to go, Elliot. So just when we need something after a dog game like this, that's it. So, no, actually, what I was going to say, first of all, a couple things were bringing up to you personally was, man, oh, man, you know, just, and you said it, stick for the Tampa Bay Light. Move the puck that way. And, of course, you're taping twigs. Segment is about how different guys tape their sticks. You got a couple of new ones coming up, correct?
I will eventually. I'm thinking about doing one. How this cold knot popped up. I was going to do a Jerome Iginla tribute. I got a couple of his twigs at home. But
there's a lot of existing ones. I mean, just of late. Sorry, I just mean of late, so people want to check it out
there. There's been some good ones lately. I had Dreisaitl and Nugent Hopkins in my last one, Nugent Hopkins. So have a look. It's a lot of fun to do. But like you said tonight, Tampa was tape to tape,
to tape to tape.
Yeah, all night long.
And the other quick one, so you will be, I mean, all the best. You'll be going out doing some color with university hockey, so that's going to be neat.
Yeah. Next,
we're going to miss you here for a few days, but
well,
that's going to be a neat opportunity
for
you.
This is one of those, you know, I've been on a good run. I've made, what, about 8 games in a row?
Oh, about 3, but that's good, yeah.
So I'm heading out to Lethbridge to do a little bit of color, and I'm going to do both semifinal games of the CIS and the finals, which will be on Saturday and Sunday. 2 games Saturday, 1 Sunday. And I've got some, I'm getting up there a little early to watch a little bit of the round robin, get to know some players, talk to some coaches, and just get a feel for everybody. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that as well. And we look forward to,
continuing.
Yeah. And we look forward to a Wednesday game. We'll have Leafs Nation post-game. Leafs hosting the Chicago Blackhawks. It is, no, I'm not looking for the break. I'm looking for the break right now, as it was a 6-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. A 6-2 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning, an ugly game in so many ways for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, as the Tampa Bay Lightning, that precision hockey team, just come out and give the Maple Leafs a lesson. What do you want to do? Do you want to look
slapping.
At you want to look at out of town? Oh, I was trying to think about, I was just saying earlier, we can look at out-of-town scores in a second. We've got some of the players that we'll hear from in tonight's game. What do you want to do? Do you want to hear from players? You want to do out-of-town score? I want to make it a good night for you. I don't know. Savvy doesn't want to hear the goals tonight. Should we hear the goals tonight?
Can we take a night off the goals? All they did was score on us, and it's going to make me leave here miserable.
That's what I thought. See,
you're making my night better
Vic
by not.
Gladian's just saying,
good
yeah,
deal.
We want
to. Gladian, yeah. Sanicky, everybody's saying no goals tonight.
So yeah, if you want to get the goals, find them somewhere else.
I would love to hear what one of these guys has to say about that change. I guess Nas talked about it. We should maybe listen to Nas.
Okay, well, we'll look at it. We've got a number of Leafs talking about tonight's game. So Nazem Kadri, first taking a look at the stats. It's not good stats for, gets an assist. He's even. That's as good as you can do tonight if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf. 17 minutes, 19 seconds on the ice. 2 shots on goal. And, ugly win, ugly loss, ugly team loss. Let's hear what Nazem Kadri has to say.
Provide a perspective, Nazem. Like to play a team like that when they played as well as they did here against you guys?
Yeah, they had a great road game, came out on top of us, and a couple great bounces, a few off the skate in the first period, and then we couldn't regain momentum, so they played well, and they definitely deserve that one.
How much of a factor do you think the fact you're coming off a road trip is, type thing? And obviously Kasperi was out with the flu. I don't know if other guys have it, but what do you think about that?
It's difficult when, you got to make game time decisions and then things get a little scrambly and you just got to make adjustments, but that's definitely no excuse. I think, we should have showed a better effort tonight, but, that being said, you're not going to see that too often from us.
Is there something going through the room now? Because I know Zach wasn't on the ice in the morning.
I think it's just everybody, even like talking to the linesmen out there. I mean, it seems like everyone's catching a piece of it, so. Got to make sure you take care of yourself and get your rest, and hopefully it doesn't circulate.
You draw upon the 2 games in Tampa and throw this one in, obviously, Naz, and just see somewhere in between is where maybe the true nature of this hockey club is competitive-wise against that team.
For sure. They're a deep team, similar to us. I mean, they got a lot of guys that can contribute and bring it on both ends. So, for us, I mean, the games that we've played against each other, it seems like the road team has always been the better team, so for whatever reason that is, but like I said, it's that's not something we pride ourselves on. We finished it to the end, but certainly not good enough.
John was telling us that he wished he hadn't changed on the shorthanded goal against. Just what's your perspective on that play? Is there someone who's supposed to go back, or how's what's your view of that playing out?
I was kind of in between, to be honest with you. I thought, we might have played the puck, and I think there was, you know, I was almost certain that there was a penalty on the play, so I wasn't quite sure. But, you know, we probably got to come back and regroup and not leave our other guys hanging like that. But, you know, that's just an in-between play where it's kind of like, you know, you're literally in between two options, and we chose the wrong one.
Austin said that he sensed some quit in the third period. Did you get that? How alarming is that, if that's the case?
I don't think so. We're not quitters. We've never been like that. We always finish it to the end. You know, did we want a better effort? Of course. I mean, you know, when three pucks go off, you know, skates and into the back of the net in the first period, you're kind of almost like, you know, what just happened sort of thing. So definitely stunned us and, you know, took away our momentum. It's never to regain possession of that. And, you know, it certainly showed.
And Nazem Kadri, and he's always been an upfront guy talking to the media. Like, you know, he's when fans say that their fans talk about being the two losses against the Boston Bruins, there's not many guys that were there for them both. Morgan Riley, Jake Gardner, and Nazem Kadri are the only three that were actually there for them both. I know a lot of fans remember them as far as that goes, but Naz is a guy that goes back all that time. We're taking a quick look because we will do some out-of-town scores a little bit later on, but Bruce Boudreau was pretty livid about that. So there was talk about the interesting play there, San Jose, Minnesota.
Well, it was offside, but you're not allowed to challenge it because I guess they should have challenged before the penalty shot. No, because there's not a goal, right? That's one the NHL is going to have to clean up.
So it was a penalty shot. Logan Couture got a penalty shot. And
but on the ensuing play, he was offside before he got hauled down. And then he got the penalty shot after that. But the offside had already occurred. You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
during the penalty shot. You can't yeah. go offside. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it was the play that before. And now they're saying that you can't go back and look at it. And Bruce Boudreau has a right to be mad because I think it should be called offside, shouldn't it?
Well, it's and the other part where he's mad is this is going to be a tough loss for them. They're down 3-0 with 3 minutes left against San Jose. Barring a comeback, you know what this game reminds me of tonight now that I think about it? This is where you picked off for the Toronto Maple Leafs the final 2 minutes of Saturday. You know, remember we were just saying like the last two games against Edmonton and Vancouver, it's a Leaf team that sometimes doesn't start on time. Mike Babcock says that all the time. Two games in a row didn't finish on time, and in some ways, after a pretty solid 58 minutes, they picked up those last 2 minutes when they gave up two goals and easily could have given up the third if it wasn't a big save from Freddie Anderson that would have tied the game on that Zach Cassian shot on Saturday.
Yeah, well, if you think back to the beginning of the game, Savvy's three keys, the first key was not starting on time, not finishing on time, not doing something in between, a 60-minute effort. They needed a 60-minute effort tonight. Wow, did they miss fire on that opportunity?
Yeah, and quick thing is, like I said, we didn't go over the Tampa Bay goals, but just so those of you that are following, Tyler Johnson scored twice. Cedric Paquette scored twice. He also had that. He had that shorthanded goal. Andre Palat scores once, and Anthony Cirelli scores the other goal. So those are the six goals. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different players figured in the scoring for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Steven Stamkos held off the score sheet. Nikita Kucherov picked up an assist on the first goal. So that's only, you think, in a six-goal game, the NHL's leading scorer would have picked up a ton. Yanni, the other guys that had multi-point, Jan Ruda had two assists. Yanni Gord, two assists. And Ryan McDonough had two assists. So
how many did Phil Esposito have?
A solid. Well, Phil,
he could have had a couple if he would have came down out of the booth tonight.
I think tonight he could have. And we were chatting about it earlier that, boy, John Cooper's got it going. And this was a coach that coached the Norfolk Admirals beating the Toronto Marlies about 5-6 years ago in the Calder Cup final. And then shortly after, went up to Tampa Bay, and a lot of those guys came up from the team, and they just blossomed. And, you know, we saw, like, for example, Columbus won with the Lake Erie Monsters a couple of years ago. But it doesn't mean your AHL team comes up and blossoms at the NHL level. That's not the easiest thing to do. The Leafs didn't do it 5-6 years ago, but they've done it more the last couple of years with their Toronto Marley team. It's not fun and sexy, but drafting players, scouting, and then the development part, coaching,
it's mandatory.
Are huge.
It's mandatory now.
Yeah, and Leafs are doing it now, but Tampa Bay is the role model for that.
They are the role model for it. They are the exception of it, and you have to now. With the way the salary cap is, you're going to end up paying your top six guys a lot of money. You have to bring in kids in those bottom six roles that are young, fresh, good offensive kids that don't make a lot of money. That's the bottom line. And the Tampa Bay has done that, like you said, and they've won. They've won at the level, and Sheldon Keefe's done a great job with the Marlies, same kind of thing. They've won down there, and these kids are getting great experiences that can only help them in their NHL careers.
Well, the other part, too, Kucherov's not a first-round pick. Tyler Johnson, guys that aren't drafted, Andre Palat, Killorn, I mean, you name it. Braden Point. I mean, these guys are not first-round picks, and that's something the Leafs have done a lot better of late, too, drafting guys or having guys succeed that weren't taken the first round. But boy, oh boy, the scouting staff for Tampa Bay has been fabulous.
They have been. You know who is a first-round pick off that team? Braden Coburn. I played with him with the Atlanta Thrashers back in the day, and I thought he had a real future ahead of him. Bounced around a little bit, but has always been a steady defenseman. Maybe not in Atlanta days because there wasn't much defense, but he moved on to Philly for a while, and then he jumped over here to Tampa, and he's been a solid, solid player. He's had a nice career, I would think, Braden Point.
Well,
what was his
Braden
name?
Braden Coburn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a nice career. Braden Point will have a nice career as well. And they had the other part is in tonight's game, like the Leafs have played Tampa Bay really well. They won a game, and then they went up against arguably the best goaltending performance they've seen all season long, Andre Vasilevsky, on the road that one game in Tampa Bay. But yeah, tonight it wasn't even the chances were happening, because you just said that, you know, William Nylander not even getting a shot attempt, or Chris Johnson mentioned that, and just in general, you know, the guy that seemed to be leading a lot of them, Ron Hainsey seemed to be a guy that was leading a lot of rushes.
Yeah, he did. He gave it all. He had a couple offensive chances in the first period there. They didn't end up getting in the back of the net. But Rockin' Ron was jumping still. He's had a good year. Now, did he manage to stay? Oh, he took a minus. Ronnie took a minus. His first minus in a long time. Good for him. Anyways, it was probably on that line change, too. He probably got one of the guys that jumped on. But
all those guys that got the unfair minuses.
Ron's had a great season, let's be honest.
Quick look at some of the scores in the out-of-town scoreboard. Wow, Chicago really giving it to the Arizona Coyotes, 6-1 at the end of the second period. Arizona just barely outside the playoffs in the West, so this is a tough one for them. Carolina leads Colorado 1-0 in the second. Edmonton leads the New York Rangers 2-1. That's in the second period of play. Philadelphia beats Ottawa 3-2. It's a final. New York Islanders shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets 2-0. What's going on in Columbus? That's a final and a tough loss for our buddy Bruce Boudreau. The Minnesota Wild are shut out 3-0 by the San Jose Sharks.
Unbelievable, eh? The Columbus Blue Jackets, they got to be the story of the National Hockey League right now, making all those deadline acquisitions and just not being able to get it done is the bottom line there, Gord. And then you look up Carolina having a 1-0 lead. Dougie Hamilton with that goal, a guy they looked at moving. Chicago crushing Arizona right now, and that's a tough one for Arizona to swallow when they're battling for their playoff lives. But like you said, Minnesota Wild, who are also in the wild card position right now, mm-hmm. weren't able to get it done tonight. So that's a tough one, and you can see the frustration of your buddy, Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah. And the only good news for them is Arizona looking like they're not going to win. Well, we're all going to win because Mike Zeisberger will be joining us next. We'll chat with him. A 6-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelec, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave. But we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
6-2, the Tampa Bay Lightning defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's no joy in Leaf Nationville tonight. We are sitting at an empty Scotiabank Arena, our broadcast location. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. I believe I said that. And Mike Zeisberger, I believe I said that as well, that he's coming up from NHL.com. How are you, Zeis?
I'm good, buddy, and welcome to both of you guys for this. Is this a post-game or post-mortem?
Yeah, it seems. Well, and look at Savvy under the weather, and he is not hiding it well. He is miserable. He's stuffed. He thinks he's battling. I don't. But anyway, he's just stuffed up.
I haven't seen anything like this since Bobby Bond got that broken leg goal in the finals. You know,
it's kind of comparable, to be honest.
That's his his wake up. Now, just as you settled here, we're going to hear from some more of the players later on, some of their comments. So, what were a very unusual game for the Leafs, who've had a lot of pluses this year. So you. Interesting what number 34 Auston Matthews said, and just maybe some of the sentiment you got tonight.
Well, yeah, Auston Matthews after the game was very, very, and he didn't look pissed and he didn't look angry, but there was just, he was very serious, and he said, you know what, in the third period we kind of quit. And for a player to say that, and a player of his stature, like, let's face it, Tavares came out first. He said there's no excuses in that. And Tavares has been like that all year, okay? He never makes excuses in that. But for Auston Matthews, who, you know, usually chooses his words carefully and doesn't wade into those things, but to say they kind of quit in the third period, he said they got slapped. He said this was a measuring stick. And it was a wake-up call. And it's refreshing to see the young player like that, somebody that's kind of been deemed one of the team leaders and guys, you know, that'll carry this team in the future, be that candid. I'm going to be interested to see what they take from this and whether, you know, there's a lot of looking in the mirror. Because let's face it, guys, I mean, the playoffs start, what, 3 weeks Tuesday, a month Tuesday, or Wednesday, something like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Whenever they do, we'll be here.
We're not talking about a game midweek in January against the Minnesota Wild.
No, we talked about this before the game. You always worry about when you come home from a home road trip, that the first one's going to be tough. But when you have Tampa waiting for you, you think you can come and rise to the occasion. But tonight, like you said, they look disinterested. They look lethargic. I mean, that change just spoke volumes on the whole game tonight.
Well, and there's a couple things to that, Savvy. First off, I know some coaches in the Western Conference pretty well, and they get their backs up every time they hear an Eastern team say, "Well, we just got back from the Western Conference road trip." And that first game is hard, and then you start getting them going like, "Well, you know what? We just came back from bleep and bleep bleep, like 10 visits to the East Coast time zone, and we got to listen to these guys in the Eastern Conference say that." Now, you know, granted, you would know better than I do buy into maybe your legs are a little heavier and that. But when you saw a three on a shorthanded situation, Morgan Riley is outnumbered 3-1, okay, in your own end. And there wasn't another Leaf other than Garrett Sparks anywhere near him because of that bad change. That's mental fatigue, and you cannot have that. And you just see a team like Tampa, they feed on that, okay? Mm-hmm. They see a little bit of indecision. They see, you know, brain drains, for a lack of a better word, and they feast on it.
I think that's probably where the play Auston Matthews is talking about. First of all, the fourth goal, and they made the change, gave Freddie a break, was it went off Auston Matthews. You could see his kind of reaction,
yep,
like, seriously? And then to his credit, he went out and got the one real good goal. When it mattered a little bit, Auston Matthews did that. But I
the
think
the power of Walter Gretzky, by the way, shift after
Walter Gretzky is on the.
That's what we talked about. Yeah.
To say, because to that point, guys, to say this place was as quiet as a library would be an insult to quiet libraries. Okay,
I didn't know you could insult quiet libraries.
I know.
Okay,
you put you know, then you put Walter Gretzky on the screen, and all of a sudden the place was buzzing.
But and he milked it. He got a great standing. It was an organic, spontaneous standing ovation, which is great for the father of hockey. And then Austin Matthews gets that goal, so it's 4-1.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit going on, and then
a power play.
Goal. Yeah. Then they get the power play. You're right, and that leads to that. The absurdness, and that's probably where Austin Matthews is kind of saying, pointing the finger at himself too, that kind of change was just part of just quitting.
Well, and a lot of things we're learning, you know, tonight too, you know, and one that stuck out to me, and it's upsetting. It was the one thing that I hope went well tonight, not only, you know, them trying to win a hockey game, but was Nylander back with Matthews. I mean, we all want to see that work, and with injury or illness, you know, brings opportunity. We thought that this is a great opportunity for him, and he definitely did not take advantage of it. And I don't know what I know they're taking tomorrow off, and they come back Wednesday, and I'm sure Kapanen will be back. I can't see Nylander sticking up with Matthews again, even though I still want to see it.
Yeah, you know, you want to see it, but I always come back, and it's easy to always use Sidney Crosby as an example, because he is in himself, you know, stands up to me as a unique. We can argue who the best player in the National Hockey League is. We can't argue that he's not one of them. But I remember when they won their first of two consecutive cups 3 years ago, Sidney Crosby went into the playoffs with two rookies on his wings, Brian Rust and Connor Sheary. And when people asked him about that, he goes, well, you know what? We need depth to win this. So, you know, it's for the good of the team. So I really want to see – I'm like you, Savvy. I want to see them get together – Nylander and Matthews, and see some kind of chemistry. But when you see effort or lack thereof, and the guys admit it like you do tonight, do line combinations really matter?
You know, one thing I'm curious about with William Nylander as well, because you're down there in the trenches. We are here in the glamour area up here in the press box, which is freezing cold. And that,
like the good
around.
Lords looking down on their kingdom.
But, okay, so we love hearing the clips, and we look forward to hearing from Austin Matthews. John Tavares is always
stand-up,
really well thought out. I like the way Morgan Riley's been of late. Freddie's always incredibly chill. Now, we hardly ever hear William Nylander. Like, now, I mean, is that because does he just not talk? Do people just not go to him? Like I know there's certain go-to guys, but he should be one of those go-to guys, I would think.
See all of the above, Gord.
Yeah.
See all of the above.
When I played, it rested on you. You want to run back to the showers and hide out. They're not going to come dig you out. You want to answer to the media, you stand out there. And I think that's upon him to want to.
Is that the way you read it, Zion?
Yeah, I read it that way, too. And I will say this. I mean, the best time or the best availability for these guys is after practice. And if you ask for him, he'll almost all the time come out. So it's not, he's not trying to quiver in the back or something. I mean, let's face it. I mean, how many times has he been relevant enough where you want him to be one of the guys to come out?
Yeah. Like tonight. Tonight would have been another great time for him to come out and say, I played like horse crap. Stand up. And say it to the guys in the media, say it to someone that's going to write it down, that I played bad. I need to play better to help this team. And I think that goes a long way.
Here's look it. I mean, there's still time in the season. We know it's roller coaster. I mean, this is a team that had only lost, I think, once in regulation in its previous 7 or 8 games. But like I mentioned, I mean, we're less than a month for the playoffs. You have a guy, you know, one of your team leaders coming out and candidly, and good for him, saying that they kind of quit. Then you've got one of your former teammates, I believe, Brad Marchand, poking the bear on social media, you know, saying Marner deserves $12 million. And then today, when Chris Johnson posted John Cooper's quote for after the morning skate that Mitch Marner might be the smartest player he's ever seen.
Oh.
Your buddy, Brad Marchand, pipes in, reacts to Chris's tweet and says, see, I told you. Okay? And he got Kyle Dubas to respond. So, you know what? I mean, you're just seeing all these things. I think we all agree that unless something drastic happens, it's going to be Leafs-Bruins again. I just see so many of these signs, like Marchand is playfully getting under their skin, and they're not even on the ice yet. And then you see efforts, like they said, today was a measuring stick, and they didn't measure up. There's a lot of alarm bells going off, and I understand there's 3 weeks left in the season. They can fix a lot of these things, but, you know, when you start thinking about when John Tavares got signed, the first thing that Kyle Dubas said is, our goal is we need to win our division. He wasn't talking about Stanley Cup. He wasn't talking about Eastern Conference. He said, because you want to avoid either Tampa or Boston in the first round. Now there's no way they're going to do that. And when you just look at the body of work against those two particular teams, I think there's a lot of warning signs there.
I think, yeah, I agree 100%. But back to the Marchand thing, I think if you're a Leaf, I don't like Kyle Dubas even addressing it or going there. I told Gord this, that the best thing you can do with Brad Marchand is let him sleep. Don't answer to his calls. Just let him sleep. If he licks you, just skate away. Just whatever he wants to do. The other cause for concern for me, and I've been adamant about it all season with Gord, is Freddie Anderson's play in big games. Is that a cause for concern for you?
I guess. Maybe I'm a little tainted because I've seen the successors to him. And, you know, you go back to, like, after Ed Belfour. Not that there's a lot of big games that this franchise has played.
No, but Vesa Toskala, Andrew Raycroft, yeah, you know, and company. And then,
even James Reimer. I mean, we can go down the list, and that's no offense to them, but it just seems to be.
Well, and Jonathan Bernier was supposed to be the next guy.
I owe about 200 of my career points to those three guys, so I know exactly where you guys are headed with that. But big
I
games.
Do, I,
but there's
I,
nothing bigger than the playoffs. I think it's going to come down to the playoffs and how he plays this year after, let's face it, a substandard playoff last year.
Yep.
Where in Anaheim, you know, the little bit of playoff he got, they had a tough decision with Gibson and Freddie. Now, they made the decision to keep Gibson, which maybe speaks something, but Gibson is a real solid goaltender. But he did win a little bit there. They had a disappointing elimination, but he did get some playoff wins in Anaheim, if I remember correctly, Zeiss.
I just remember the third period in Boston was not... You know, the Leafs were one goal up. They had 20 minutes. It was all theirs for the taking. And I brought this up with you guys before. Yes, Freddie did not play well in the third period, and neither did Jake Gardner. But as a team, and the Maple Leafs were not shorthanded in that third period, they did not get a shot on the Boston goal until 8 minutes had gone by in the third period.
I remember that, yeah.
That speaks to urgency, especially when it's all there in front of you. It's there. Go get it. Go take it. Okay? And that's where I think it goes beyond the goalie. And we just see little snippets of it like we did tonight. And that's not to say that this thing can't change, switch around. Because, hey, you know what? A year ago, heading into the playoffs, everybody thought, well, if Washington couldn't win, and then they got rid of a couple of their good players, they're going to be gone in the first or second round. And somehow they found a way to buy in. This team's going to have to find a way to buy in.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, again, you go back to last year, and it's kind of like this game tonight, that third period. Like the third period,
yeah,
surreal.
Exactly.
And I think that's why fans catch themselves getting a little too chicken little about this team. Like, oh, my God, the sky's falling down.
Here we go again.
What? Because the third period, I remember the puck was in the Leaf zone like 8 seconds, and the Bruins almost seemed to have a chance. And you're going, man, they're not really getting the puck out of their zone, are they? And then they're going, man, they haven't got a shot on goal yet. You know, and that 20 minutes just went like that last year. So I think that's where people go, oh, my God, is this what's going to happen again with a game like the Tampa Bay Lightning, with an end like in Vancouver not holding a lead, with an end in Edmonton, you know, almost blowing in the last minute or two. It's better than saying we're not going to be in the playoffs,
yeah,
or are we going to be in the playoffs. So there's just kind of a different mindset.
Well, and I think right now the fans are at the point, I think they like the players on the team. I think they like the talent level on the team. But there's just a vibe around the team because of what they've seen in certain parts this year and in the third period of that Game 7 last year, where it's like, prove us wrong,
mm-hmm,
okay? Switch the storyline here. Show us that you can hang on for that. Because, like I said, it's one thing if they do it in Edmonton or Vancouver the other night. Yeah, there was a little bit of angst on what happened, but the fact is they still got a point in every game out west. They got 5 out of 6. I think that's the most important thing. But I think tonight that's a warning sign with the playoffs just around the corner.
And another thing for the fans out there that are listening, when you go home tonight, look in the mirror and ask yourself why you booed Jake Gardner so much. Because when you see these guys that were, these other defense guys that were on the ice,
you mean he didn't play?
You wish you had Jake Gardner in your lineup all day long and Dermott. So there's no other recipe right now, though, to fill those guys in, really. The guys are down. I guess Sheldon Keefe was on today saying that those guys haven't skated. The guys we're wanting up here.
Lots of injuries with the Toronto Marlies, including the top prospects on D. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, every team has its warts right now. Every team is fighting their own bunch of injuries. And, I mean, you look at how long was Vasilevsky out? I think he was
15 games.
Yeah.
Broken foot.
And so, what was it? Is it Louis Domingue went in there?
Yeah.
And like went on like a 9-game winning streak. Louis Domingue. Okay. Well, you know what? It's kind of like that New England Patriots thing, next man up. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the good teams do, and that's what Tampa's done.
Well, thank you for being the next man up with us today. Always appreciate it, Michael.
Thank you for having me, and Savvy, get better soon, buddy.
I will.
Yeah, Mike Zeisberger joining us from NHL.com. Always a pleasure, and I must read, too, NHL.com. A lot of great writers out there, so certainly is how I start my day, whether it's a tribute to Harry Howell by Dave Stubbs or others that are talking about what's going around the league now. Well, we'll hear from many of those players we talked about, John Tavares, Austin Matthews, Morgan Rielly, and Freddie Anderson when we come back. It wasn't a fun night at Scotiabank Arena here for Leaf Nation. A 6-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You think you have a lot to say about that game? You should hear these guys. This is the Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stelic and Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Well, it is a very deserted Scotiabank Arena, as you could imagine. A game, much anticipated game. Showtime for the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, just kind of cruising to a playoff spot. Not many games with the kind of bite that they had tonight or would have tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning, but unfortunately bit them in the ass as it came back. The Tampa Bay Lightning, a 6-2 winners over the Toronto Maple Leafs in a game that they really basically controlled from the get-go. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, Vic Palladian, Sam McGee, Andrew Holland, all joining us here down our Scotiabank Arena broadcast location. Josh Santos and Kyle Norris back at Mission Control, getting our team all ready for the Stanley Cup playoff run and hopefully a long run in the Stanley Cup playoffs, although a night like tonight wouldn't make you feel that good or feel that confident. But a phenomenal Tampa Bay Lightning team, to say the least. I think everybody aware the records they are setting as far as team records they go, some individual records, and we're in a salary cap era, and they're being compared to teams like the great Montreal Canadiens of the 1970s when there wasn't a salary cap and you could keep a team together a lot easier. So that is exactly what we are talking about. And what we want to hear from are some of the players involved in tonight's game from the Toronto Maple Leafs side. Austin Matthews is where we'll start from. He got the only goal of the game for the Maple Leafs. Later on, Connor Brown scored with 4 seconds left in the game. So really, it was 4-0. Matthews made it 4-1. There was just a brief glimmer of a little bit of hope with that. 17 minutes, 20 seconds of ice time. He was minus one. He had 2 shots on net. And Austin Matthews kind of to the point after tonight's 6-2 loss.
What kind of measuring stick was this game for the team, Austin, or do you look beyond it knowing you can be better and move forward to the next game?
I think it was a good measuring stick for us, and I mean, that's a veteran team. They obviously they came out hungry. There's a reason that they're the best team in the league all year. So, you know, we just didn't come ready to play. And, I mean, despite bad bounces, I mean, they still beat us in every area of the ice. So. I mean, they're just on top of you. The deer are on top of you, and we know that. We watched video. We watched the pre-scout, and we know this coming into tonight that they're going to be above you all game. So, I mean, we just didn't give ourselves a chance. We didn't take care of the puck. We didn't do a lot of things that could have just made it easier on us and on our D to break out the puck and start playing in their end. So, I mean, they established their game early and got into our zone and established an ozone time on us. Early and you know, it wore us down.
How much do you feel for Freddie, especially with a couple of bounces that he had to get down?
Yeah, I mean, that's not on him, that's on us. You know, we got to do a lot better, so I think this is a good wake up call for us. You know, like you said, it was a measuring stick game. It's the best team in the league, and we didn't come ready to play, and you know, they pretty much just slapped us.
And it's far cry from what we saw in Tampa in the two games in the earlier part of the season. You get them in few more weeks again, a good opportunity once that opportunity does arise back here in this rink.
Yeah, so we got to be ready to play. And I'm sure tomorrow we'll go over a bunch of stuff, fix some things that need to be fixed. Obviously, I mean, the effort kind of just wasn't there at times. And I mean, I think in the third period, we pretty much just quit. So, I mean, that's on us as players. You know, we got to wake up and do a much better job and hold each other accountable and not let Freddie or Sparks you up to dry and make sure we compete a full 60 minutes despite the score. I don't know. I mean, it's no excuse. We got to be ready to play despite time change, flight, whatever excuse you want to make. I mean, we got to come ready to play, especially against a team like this.
What was missing from the power play team?
Everything. We weren't communicating. We didn't break the puck in. We were bad in the faceoff circle in all areas tonight. And I mean, they were just better than us in every way.
Well, good on Austin Matthews and really not mincing words and talking about things and just saying the team quit a bit in the third period as well. So pointing the finger at himself, pointing the finger at the team. At this point, he did not know or was obviously sounds he wasn't aware that Mike Babcock said, rather than working on some things tomorrow, they're going to go the other way. They're going to use Tuesday and Thursday as rest days, as days off. Now, I don't know if that means I take it they stay right away from the rink, but certainly you'd hope Wednesday against the Chicago Blackhawks and Friday at home against the Philadelphia Flyers that whatever was amiss tonight gets corrected or gets addressed by the Toronto Maple Leafs, even without practicing on Tuesday and Thursday. John Tavares has been a stand-up guy after every Toronto Maple Leaf game, to say the least, really evolving as a leader there. He didn't get any points tonight. He was minus one. He had one shot on net. 15 minutes, 47 seconds of ice time. Let's hear what John Tavares had to say after the 6-2 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
John, maybe you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, obviously, really don't want to get into the hole we got into against any team, but certainly a team that's having the season like they are. We got to find a way to establish our game and grab some of that momentum back. As frustrating as it could be halfway through the game, we got to find a way to get our game going and execute better than we did.
Made it hard to break out against them tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it first started off, I think, they obviously got some results off some face-offs. We didn't execute, obviously, some tips and whatever those happened. I mean, it is what it is. I think just our execution the will to find a way to overcome some of the things they're doing to counter us and like I said, that's just bearing down and just executing in certain areas.
John, what happened on the shorthanded goal at the end of the second period there, where they seemed to have a 3-on-1 in your end?
Yeah, I mean, we just didn't have very good power play, and I know personally I probably shouldn't have changed when I changed. So obviously. Really unacceptable at that stage, certainly when you got the man advantage in that point in the game.
Three more games this week. Do you just learn, get rested, move on?
Well, I mean, you know, we have to learn from, I think, today. I mean, you know, obviously playing top team in the league, one of the, team that we're you know, guys here have seen for a long time, obviously, the battles we've had this year and going forward, and this was a great opportunity for us. So I think, you know, certainly look ourselves in the mirror and look to bounce back and understand we have to be a lot better than we were today.
You mentioned sort of finding that will to adjust in games to what's going on. Do you feel like that's something that was just tonight, or is that a pattern that you've seen with the group throughout the season?
Well, I think, you know, not every night's going to be our best night, and I think for the most part, you know, you're going to have to find ways to get your game going, get yourself going, especially when you're playing a good opponent and they're executing at a high level and they're making things difficult or things aren't going your way or you find yourself a little bit in a hole, and you got to find your way to work out of that. And that's just sticking to what we do well, our identity of our team. And I think individually, not trying to do too much, but going out there and winning each shift, focusing on one thing at a time and winning some battles and executing in the simple areas and the important areas of the game that will allow us to kind of get back to what we do well and, you know, playing with the puck and making plays like we want to.
Well, John Tavares kind of mirroring the words of Austin Matthews, taking accountability about what went on tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, yeah, particularly that, man, ill-fated, incredible change that was made. The Leafs were on the power play, and puck got dumped in the Leaf zone. And the John Tavares, Austin Matthews, Nazem Kadri, the number one power play unit, basically all went to the bench save for Morgan Rielly, who was back there defenseless, like on three or four attackers against him for an easy shorthanded goal. And Tavares basically saying that, yeah, it wasn't a good idea, him going for the change for sure. Up next, Morgan Rielly and the Leaf leader, defense leader, minus two. Three shots on that play, 21 minutes, 7 seconds. Let's hear what Morgan Rielly has to say after the 6-2 loss.
Austin talked about things having to get corrected. What can get corrected to get you guys better and then back to even par in a game against a team like that?
You know, just little things. I thought the power play can be better. You know, they got some bounces early, and I don't think we responded as well as we would have liked. So there's things that we're going to work on, and you know, it's important that we got it fixed, you know, right now. We got some big games coming up, and it's important that we're ready.
Austin, so you felt like maybe there was some quit in the team there in the third period. Did you feel like that as well?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, like I said, they got some bounces early, and I don't think we responded that well. And I think that can go for the third as well. You know, we came out, you know, with the attitude that we were going to play right. You know, that's not necessarily what happened. So it's important that we go over things, we talk about it, and we talk about how we can get better and fix the things that we need to fix moving forward. Yeah, it's all part of it. It's fine. It's I mean, no excuses. All teams go through road trips and you know, battle things like that. But it's all part of it. There's no reason for us not to be ready, and you know, that's certainly not an excuse for what happened on the ice tonight.
On the shorthanded goal, where you put your odd man, where you just gassed the end of the shift there, or you went down in front, it looked like.
Yeah, well, trying to stop the pass.
Right.
Yeah.
To get a call at the start of that play.
It's not important, so I don't really care.
Well, Morgan Rielly, and again, it's the message tonight from the Toronto Maple Leafs. There are not a lot of positives, not a lot of accolades for the game, the way the game went tonight, and Freddie Anderson mercifully got pulled, which is quite unusual in Toronto Maple Leaf Nation. He got pulled on the fourth Tampa Bay Lightning goal. This one really went off Austin Matthews, but they'd got two goals within 30 seconds to make it 4-0. So the 4:50 mark of the second period is where he mercifully got pulled. Garrett Sparks came in, and all in all, the shots on goal were 42-28 for the Lightning, and of course 6-2 for the win. Here's a little bit of Freddie Anderson after the 6-2 loss.
Playing a night like tonight, when the bounces go their way, do you just put it by and move forward?
Yeah, of course, we gotta move forward anyway. They definitely got their bounces in the beginning, and I felt like everything was hitting something, and either going in or right on their stick. But I think overall we can probably learn a little bit from this. I thought their compete level was really high, and I think that's what happens when you win like they do, and then you need that type of effort. So I thought maybe that's good lesson for us, and hopefully we can move on.
Third goal, did it knock your mask off, or your
strap off at least?
Yeah, the one strap came off. I think hit me pretty good right in the jaw there, and it took me a second just to figure out where the puck went, and when I found it was in the net. So quick bang play, and obviously unfortunate that it went right there.
This is the first time I think you've been pulled this season. I'm sure it's probably more of a kind of message to the team type thing. Just what's your kind of mindset at that moment?
You try to do it. Try to do what you can. I thought I felt pretty good actually, and sometimes you don't get the bounces. But yeah, like I said, you work your way to get those bounces. I think as a team, they do a really good job of that, and hopefully we can learn from that.
The team that challenges any team in the league in D zone execution, and you'd have to be better right from the draw moving forward. I would guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we got to look at it on the video. I'm sure we'll take a step in the right direction tomorrow and put this past us.
Yeah, Freddie Anderson and unaware at that point about no practice tomorrow, so they'll hopefully make some steps in some way, shape, or form to bounce back on Wednesday against the Chicago Blackhawks. Taking a look at some of the out-of-town scores going on tonight. New York Rangers and the Edmonton Oilers tied 2-2. That's in the third period of play. Carolina, a 2-0 lead over the Colorado Avalanche. That's also in the third period. Boy, that's a big game. Playoff implications in the East and West. East for Carolina, obviously West for Colorado. Philadelphia beats Ottawa 3-2. The Philadelphia Flyers, I don't know. Man, the East is so hard to make any kind of climb. But I don't know. They just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Meanwhile, the Columbus Blue Jackets, a disappointing 2-0 loss, shutout by the New York Islanders tonight. They've just been kind of stuck since NHL trade deadline. They made so many moves. The San Jose Sharks shut out the Minnesota Wild 3-0. And the Chicago Blackhawks, a big 7-1 win over the Arizona Coyotes. When we come back, we will hear from Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, who basically will echo the sentiment that you heard from many of his players after tonight's game. And Chris Johnston will also drop by. Not a fun night for Leaf Nation. A 6-2 win for the Tampa Bay Lightning over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.